Welcome to the Bardcast. It's Shakespeare, you dick. We are your hosts. I am Lisa Ann Goldsmith.
I'm Owen Thompson, and I have to say that you said our title with extreme vehemence today.
I know because it's about I have extreme vehemence towards the politics of our country, and this is leading us into it. You know, we're talking about you. So this is stabby Shakespeare, y'all. Last week was the Ides of March, and Owen and I were just shooting.
2024, in case you're listening in the future.
That's right. The Ides of March 15th, 2024. And Owen and I were just shooting the shit. And, you know, Ides of March is the day that Julius Caesar was stabbed by all the senators, you know, and in the play, his wife is like, don't do it. It's the Ides of March. And, you know, Artemidorus is like, don't do it. It's the Ides of March. And the soothsayer is like, don't go. It's the Ides of March, you know. And they kill him because they're afraid that he wants to be king and not just the head of the Senate. So there's so much political stuff going on, and Owen and I were talking about it, that we thought this would be a good episode.
It definitely seems like the right time. Also, I don't know, it's even though it's a little chilly in New York, it's the springtime. And, you know, spring flowers and cherry blossoms. And so it naturally makes me think of assassinations and stabbing.
Yeah, okay. That works.
So, you know, but on a serious note, obviously, and without, you know, getting, well, we may well get into the weeds and go down rabbit holes,
oh,
where there will be more weeds.
We are gonna
is it, you know, obviously we are now in the election year, presidential election year, and the primaries are essentially over. So we're now in a situation where we know who are that it's going to be Trump versus Biden. Unless
yeah,
somebody
and the
dies.
Drama is starting.
Starting.
Yeah, I should say continuing. But like new drama. Every day.
Ratcheting up.
Oh my God. Yes, ratcheting up. Every day there's new drama. Like just when we thought that he was going to have to, that Trump was going to have to pay for all that shit that he did with the last election. Now that's like, you know, with the Fannie Willis case, that's all being like pulled out from under us too. So it's just frustrating. So yes, I feel vehement, Owen.
Spoiler alert for any of our overseas listeners, or perhaps some of our stateside listeners as well. This is probably going to be a fairly partisan broadcast.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, it's going to be a very liberal partisan broadcast. So
now, but I wouldn't at least go so far as to, since, you know, we've already by implication drawn some kind of parallel between Caesar and Trump, and at least in our thoughts, right?
Yeah.
So I am not, at least, Lisa, and you may disagree with me if you like, I am not at least calling for any kind of actual assassination.
Oh God, no. No, of course not. Because I'm not a crazy person.
don't get me wrong, because also it, like, honestly, you know, whatever one's fantasies might be, you don't want to make a martyr out of your enemy, right?
No.
On the other hand, I will say this, and bear with me. How is he alive?
You know, every day, this is such a terrible thing, but every day I think that to myself. I'm like, how is he still thriving? How is that
right?
Possible?
And I'm not even talking about like a wish or I'm just saying
facts.
Somebody that old, that fat, and that angry should have had like 17,000 heart attacks by now.
Yeah, but you know what, Owen? I think it's his anger that's keeping him alive. I think
that's the dark side of the force.
That it is. He is.
You channel your anger and your hatred, right? I mean, that's
right.
What he's done.
Yes, yes.
I mean, it's kind of an insult to the Sith to, you know, give him that kind of credit. But it that is, in fact, what the Sith preach, is focus your anger and your hatred.
Right.
And that seems to be working for him.
Right. So to compare him to, say, Julius Caesar, I think Julius Caesar was probably a better human being.
Well, you know, it's a low bar.
It is a low bar.
It is hard. I always used to say, before the advent of the pandemic, I would say, well, you know what? Obviously, Trump is the most vile human being that it's imaginable to be. But until he was culpable for the death of so many people through his idiotic reaction to COVID, I
Yeah,
would have
drink
said
ammonia, drink bleach.
he wasn't quite as bad a president as George W. Bush had been, because he wasn't as responsible for so many deaths, and yet he was a far worse person than W. But then COVID came along, and he did what he did.
And January 6th. Let's not forget about January 6th.
Oh, and January 6th, of course,
Yeah.
that delightful day.
Yeah.
But now, to compare, let me ask you this. This is a good jumping off point. Would you, or would you, what do you see in Trump or in Caesar that reflects Trump, or vice versa? And what do you see that doesn't?
Well, okay. So, for example, if someday Melania would come to Trump and say, "You shouldn't go to, you shouldn't go to something or other
You have to do
because,
it in the accent.
oh God, no,
Come on.
I can't do it.
You have to.
So you can't go to this thing because you are going to be killed. I think you are going to be killed. So you cannot go." And he would be like, "Oh, all right, Melania, I'll stay home with the golden toilet instead." But then if, say, Stephen Miller came to him and said, "But Donnie, they're going to give you a crown. They're going to make you king." He would 100% go. So I think he is totally like Caesar in that way. That if he thinks he's going to be adored and he thinks he's going to be getting more power, he's in. He's in like Flint.
Well, now that begs the question, because of course in the play that is basically what happens. But also what happens in the play, although it happens off stage, is that Caesar thrice refuses a kingly crown as presented to him in public by none other than Mark Antony, right? And of course Caesar never became king, and that of course was the whole point of the conspiracy, was to avoid having a king.
Yes,
So
but I think the thrice refusing a crown can also be a bunch of bullshit, like somebody, holding a Bible on the steps of a church who has no religion whatsoever. You know what I mean? It gets a, it's a,
yeah.
it's a media thing. It's totally a media thing.
I mean, it's obviously it's very it there's things that we can't really know because of it's so far back in history, although pretty well recorded history, I must
Yes,
say.
but here's so here's a way that they are not alike, right? No matter what you think about Caesar, Caesar was a famous Roman general, and he at the beginning of the play, he has just defeated the faction of his rival, right? Of Pompey.
Well, certainly I was going to say that in terms of things that are not similar between Trump and Caesar is the military career. I mean, Mr. Bone Spurs, Mr. Chicken Hawk asshole that never served a day,
That's right.
versus maybe the greatest general in the history of the Western world.
Even though Caesar has epilepsy and is deaf in one ear.
Right. So let's not forget. I mean, it's not just that Caesar, has beaten a rival militarily right before the events of
No,
the
and
play.
he's been a general his
Caesar,
entire life.
I mean, he conquered Gaul. He
Yes.
defeated Hannibal, who was maybe the second greatest general of his day.
Yes.
He was a mastermind general whose, tactics are still studied today. I mean, he was certainly no coward.
Yes.
So you might, as they used to say about John McCain, you could call him a hawk, but you couldn't call him a chicken hawk.
Totally. Totally. But I do think now here's another similarity. We see Caesar is arrogant, right? Like even to the point of self-delusion. I mean, he convinces himself that the omens don't apply to him, even though everybody's like, "You're gonna die if you go to the Senate," So that's similar to Trump, but I also think that Caesar was a fairly perceptive judge of character and really like adhered firmly to his principles.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think maybe the most Caesar-like thing that Shakespeare has Caesar say in the play is, "But always I am Caesar."
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Which shows you A, his pride, B, his vanity,
Yes.
but also, it reflects the situation that he says it in, the context in which he says it shows you a genuine greatness of character to Caesar.
Absolutely.
I mean, it sees, I mean, and even his detractors, even those who killed him, admired him greatly. He was in every sense of the word, from a Roman point of view, a great person.
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe not ultimately a good person, but a great person. He was a huge person. If it, you know, if it weren't for the other JC
Yeah.
of a similar time frame, he would be the most famous, and probably is the most famous person from that era of time,
Right.
right? I mean, he is, even though not technically the founder of the Roman Empire, he is the de facto founder of the Roman Empire.
Right. And so that makes a huge difference between Caesar and Trump, right? Because what did Trump
Sure.
do? What did Trump do for people before he became president? I mean, what did he do for people when he became president? But like Caesar has this life history of service to his country.
Right. Well, Caesar, the difference is obvious and essential. Caesar, for all of his faults, was a great human being, and Donald Trump is a vile, meaningless sack of shit.
That's right. So let me ask you a
So,
question, Owen. What do you think they were right to assassinate him?
well, that, you know, that's obviously the question of this play, right? And I think yes and no, and we'll dive into Brutus and Cassius, the two main conspirators.
Yeah.
But I think they had every reason to, and let's contextualize this, right? Because people don't talk about this enough, like actual Roman history. So, you know, Rome had originally, many hundreds of years before the events of Julius Caesar, been under a king, the
Yes,
Tarquins,
that's right.
right? And they were, for the most part, tyrants. And it's not commonly known enough that Brutus, the leader of the conspiracy, or the face of the conspiracy anyway, is a descendant of the Brutus who killed the last Tarquin.
Tarquin's ravishing stride.
So, you know, so Brut that's one reason why Brutus is so essential to giving the patina of legitimacy to this conspiracy,
Yeah.
because he not only is he known to be a really noble and great all around guy, but he's also the descendant of the guy who ended the tyranny,
That's
right?
right.
So there's poetic justice.
That's right. And it is Brutus's admirable qualities, his honor, his loyalty, his reason, his self-control. Those are all the reasons that cause him to decide to betray Caesar and participate
Right.
in his assassination.
And yet it is a betrayal, right?
100%.
And also it fails.
Yeah.
So, you know, so the question of were they right or wrong, from a real politic point of view, the answer is it doesn't matter,
That's right.
because the reality is there was go the Republic. So after, you know, just again to contextualize, after the getting rid of the Tarquins, Rome did become, for the a functioning republic for many hundreds of years. Not, you know, n not 100% democratic, and it was still, you know, largely run by a kind of oligarchy of patrician senators and that kind
Right.
of thing. And there, but you know, but they had tribu the people had tribunes that represented their interest and all of that sort of thing. So
Certainly
it's,
more
you
than
know, it
under the
was.
Tarquins, yeah. I mean.
Right. Well, I mean, and it's a in many ways it's a model for America and for American democracy. I mean, it's not one not apples to apples, but not it's not a coincidence that we have, you know, senators,
Right,
right?
right.
And that they function in a somewhat similar way to the way the Senate functioned in Rome. So the fear is when you get to Caesar. Now, along the way, by the way, just again to contextualize things, in times of war, the Republic could vote people, the Senate could vote a particular person to be dictator,
Yeah.
right? Because it was considered that in times of war, we needed a leader who could make decisions without any kind of needing to go through processes of votes and that kind of thing. So someone, some trusted person, usually a general, would be elected temporary dictator to take care of whatever bullshit was going on. And it
Boy, but
worked pretty well.
that phrase itself, right? That's a conundrum. Temporary
Elected. Well, but
temporary
that's
dictator.
but see, that's the thing. That's why the system was worked pretty well until it didn't, right?
Right.
Because the temporary, and then of course Caesar also became part of the first, the quote unquote first triumvirate. Most
Right.
people think about the second triumvirate of Octavius, Antony, and Lepidus, which happens in a later play as of Shakespeare's as well. But the first triumvirate was Caesar was the youngest part of it, and it was Pompey the Great
Yeah.
and Marcus Crassus, who
Yep.
was the richest Roman of all time, or at least of his era, and they formed a triumvirate that fell apart. Fun fact, by the way, just this is a little parenthesis. Fun fact for our Game of Thrones fans, if you remember the episode where Viserys Targaryen, Daenerys' older brother, the shithead,
Yeah.
like demands to, you know, a crown, and he, you know, from Khal Drogo, and Khal Drogo like melts the gold
Melts the gold
and
on his
pours it
head.
over his head. This is the thing that George Martin, the author of Game of Thrones, loves to do, is taking real horrific episodes of history and putting them into Game of Thrones. That's how they, it's a legend, but that's how they say Marcus Crassus, the richest Roman who was part of that triumvirate, was captured by the Parthians, and because as an ironic death sentence, because he was so rich, that's how they killed him.
Oh God.
They, by pouring molten
Oh my
gold on his head, or at
God.
least that's the legend.
Oh my God.
So that's my little fun fact of the day.
That
But
is a fun
anyway,
fact.
so Caesar is elected dictator temporarily, but he was the first person to be voted dictator for life. And that is, I think, that is the thing that made the senators like Cassius and Brutus like super nervous and like,
Yeah, because
holy
it's
shit,
for
are we
life.
going to have a king now? Are we going to have a
Right.
fucking king?
Right. Right.
And it's because of the fear of the word king and what that implied that even after the events of Julius Caesar, when Octavius Caesar, who is C C Caesar's adopted son,
Yep.
becomes Caesar, like really Caesar. I mean, Caesar's just a last name, y'all.
Right.
I mean, Caesar was
And then it's
Julius
become
Caesar,
synonymous with the
right?
ruling guy.
Well, and that's because under Octavius, Octavius called himself Augustus Caesar, took on that name, which, let's face it, has a better ring to it than Octavius.
It does.
If you're fighting Spider-Man, you can be Octavius. If you want to rule Rome, go with Augustus, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
But then he couldn't, even he couldn't call himself king because it was a toxic word in Rome.
And let's not get
So,
into Tiberius and Caligula.
oh, I'd love to because it's so much fun. But the word emperor was invented, right?
Yes.
To and it's tied to imperial, right? I misremember the exact derivation of the word emperor, but it had to be invented so that Rome didn't seem to have a king, right? So that it was still technically they paid lip service to it being a quasi-republic under Augustus, and then as Augustus's, you know, and it was shitheads like Tiberius and Caligula that
Yeah.
came along,
Yeah.
and always usually adopted children became the next ruling, the next emperor, and they took the name Caesar. So yes, Caesar took on
Right.
the meaning of a
Right.
monarch because everybody was whoever Caesar from then on,
That's right.
right? So that's how it worked. But back to whether or not they should have done it. Well, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I understand where they're coming from. You know, to really talk about this, you need to talk about Cassius, right? So unlike
Certainly.
Brutus, who loves Caesar but was also opposed to the idea of a monarchy, Cassius, who served beside Caesar and even rescued him from drowning once, right? He seems motivated by jealousy than by political ideology, I think.
Agreed.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I would say in Cassius's case, it's, you know, there's two things, at least two things going on with Cassius. I think that there is a legitimate fear, a legitimate political fear that's based in reason and, and
100%.
intellect. But I think it's what drives Cassius
Yes.
is the not only jealousy, but I mean jealousy of both Caesar and Brutus, right? I mean,
Yes.
he's jealous of the power and he's jealous of the fame, but he's also jealous that people don't see him the way they see Brutus,
No, I
right?
mean, he's got that one line about, if I were Brutus now and he Cassius, when he's talking about how Caesar loves Brutus.
Right.
In that.
And Caesar clearly doesn't trust Cassius,
Oh, no, God, no.
but he does trust Brutus, and the
Yes.
people trust Brutus, right? Because Brutus is trustworthy, which is so makes the whole thing so ironic and worthy of being a play.
Well, which is why the when the last stab is Brutus, Caesar says "Et tu, Brute."
You too, Brutus.
Right.
Oh, you too, huh? Then fall, Caesar.
And it's a question, right?
Yeah. Although I actually came across something recently that reasoned it out, like the Et tu, Brute can be translated a number of different ways, and so and who knows, I couldn't tell you whether or not this person was correct, but they actually showed how there's a possible translation, like because Et tu, Brute is translated from something else, and the original could potentially mean not just you too, like there's a gloss of Brute that means child.
Yeah.
So it could be like you too, child, but this guy said that it actually could be translated as fuck you, punk.
Kind of like that.
Which, I don't know about the legitimacy, but it's worth a chuckle.
Yeah, but I found that line I was talking about of Cassius's. He says, after he's talked to Brutus and he's like, listen, this isn't going to happen. We need to talk about this more. This is not good. We need to act on this. We need to do something about Caesar, and then Brutus leaves to go home and like think about it as Brutus does. Cassius says, Caesar doth bear me hard, but he loves Brutus. If I were Brutus now and he were Cassius, he should not humor me. And that's when he decides that he's going to write those things and throw them in at Brutus's window so that he thinks it came from all the citizens saying, we got to do something about this guy.
Right. I mean, the principal difference between Cassius and Brutus is that Cassius is n not above underhanded means to his end, where Brutus is motivated, I think, genuinely by a sense of what's right and wrong and
Decency.
civic duty and civic
Yes.
duty.
Yes. 100%.
I mean, which makes I've always I think we've talked about this before. It's such a difficult play in a number of ways, and for me the way that it's most difficult is that I kind of find the character of Cassius and even Mark Antony to be more compelling and more interesting than Brutus,
100%. Having
because
played
Brutus is so
Cassius.
nice, yeah.
Yes.
So, but Brutus is without question the protagonist of this
Oh,
play.
absolutely. Absolutely. And yet, when they agreed to kill Caesar, and Cassius is like, we have to kill Mark Antony too, or this is going to get fucked. Brutus is like, no, we
Yeah.
can't do that. That was a fatal flaw. I mean, as fu you know, as fucked as Cassius is, where he's coming from this, he's 100% right. He was
Oh, of course.
absolutely
It
right.
certainly, again, from a real politic point of view, listen, you can't if you're in, you're in.
Yes.
You can't if you're gonna if you have a and of course, here's really the sticking point. Brutus may or may I think, well, we're agreed that Brutus is motivated by purely altruistic reasons,
Yeah.
but he is motivated to do a horrible, horrible thing.
Yes. Yeah, but and it is history. It's like his moral code, right? Which brings about his own undoing because he says, we're
Right.
not going to kill Mark Antony and I'm going to let him give a speech at Caesar's funeral. Are you
Right.
fucking kidding me?
Well, I mean, it's not to kill Mark Antony and then to give him a public forum. And by the way, not only give him a public forum, but conveniently leave.
I know that's the other thing. It's like, don't you not only let him have his say, but there's nobody there who is monitoring him.
This is what you do. You honestly, from a strictly like hardball politics, it Roman style kind of way, you either kill Mark Antony outright when you have the chance,
Yes.
right?
Yes.
Or I could actually see an argument for, well, it would be great if Mark Antony spoke to the people and endorsed this, or at least didn't, cause problems, if we had basically his imprimatur on this. So what you do in that case is you say, okay, you want to eulogize a Caesar, that's fine, but just be aware that we have archers all over the rooftops,
That's
and
right.
if you say one fucking thing that we don't like,
You're
you're
dead.
done.
You're dead. And he even, like, he whips the people into a frenzy when he's planning to cheat them anyway by altering Caesar's will.
Right. So, well, I mean, so Antony obviously does what he does, and Brutus is a fool for letting it happen, and Cassius too, because Cassius may not like it, but he doesn't stop it,
No.
So now let me ask, here's a
Well,
question.
I don't think Cassius feels he has enough power to stop Brutus.
If Brutus listened to Cassius, and they did kill Mark Antony, or at least, okay, let's li leave it at that. Late, they'd made the hard decision. We're going to kill Caesar and we're going to kill Antony too, because it's too dangerous to leave him alive. If they had done that, do you think their cause would have succeeded?
For a period of time, yes. And I think they probably would have made Brutus the high-ranking senator or whatever.
Yeah, what was their, I mean, is the plan to continue with the, I guess the plan is to
They want to
continue,
continue with the Republic. They just don't want
right?
a monarchy.
So that would mean, and I guess the logical conclusion, let's say that it worked, because in the Roman political system, the equivalent of what we would call president were co-consuls, right?
That's right.
You have two consuls who rule together on a yearly basis, and there's two of them, and they have supreme executive power. So I guess the
It would have
idea
been
would be
Brutus and
Brutus and
Cassius.
Cassius
Yeah.
are co-consul, right?
100%.
Now, again, this is also weird because analyzing these people and these events, it gets really kind of difficult to differentiate between the historical figures and the characters in Shakespeare's play.
That's right.
Because who knows what Cassius, I mean, I know my Roman history fairly well. And I couldn't tell you. I mean, I know that Brutus did have that reputation, certainly, as he has in the play, but I couldn't tell you if Cassius was that underhanded and driven by jealousy in real life as he is in the play. Can you? Do you know?
I don't know. And to be fair, there's not nearly, I don't think there's nearly as much information, but you know what? Since I'm sitting at a computer, I'm actually going to look up Caius Cassius in history. Okay, so here it is. Caius Cassius, Italian, born in Parma, Italy, was one of the assassins of Julius Caesar. After Caesar's assassination, well, no, this. Well, this is history. He was in command of the fleet that engaged Publius Cornelius Dolabella off the coast of Asia. But after the Battle of Philippi, he joined Sextus Pompeius in Sicily. When Sextus Pompeius was defeated at Naucalpus by Agrippa and fled to Asia, Cassius then went over to Mark Antony and was present at the Battle of Actium, where Antony was defeated by Octavian, or the future Augustus.
Wow.
Then
So
Cassius, get this, then Cassius fled to Athens, where he was put to death by Octavian.
okay, so that means that okay, see, I guess my Roman history is a little shakier than I thought, because that means that Shakespeare made all of that shit up at the end of the
Yes,
play.
and Cassius is credited historically with satires, elegies, epigrams, and tragedies, and Horace, in a remark in the epistles, thought well of his poetry, but none of his work survives.
Well, that's interesting, but most importantly for analyzing this play, and I'm a little chagrined that I didn't know this already, that means that Cassius did not in fact die, much less kill himself, at the Battle of Philippi.
Nope.
In fact, he survived quite a bit
And he was
into the next few years.
apparently he was the brother-in-law of Brutus, which
Well, that's not
Portia was his
surprising.
sister.
Unless it was the other, unless it was, Brutus was his
Brother-in-law's
wife's
brother.
brother.
Yeah, but we don't even know who Cassius was married to.
Well, I mean, that's not surprising because the senatorial class, married into each other's families all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So that's hardly surprising.
Apparently, he followed the.
But I am surprised that, I mean, that really does, because that actually colors, and speaking of the delineation between historical events and show events, that colors both Julius Caesar and Antony and Cleopatra, because the Battle of Actium is the concluding disaster for Antony and Cleopatra, in which Octavius conclusively beats them when Cleopatra runs away, right? And that means Cassius was fucking there at the Battle of Actium. Was he?
Yes.
And he was on Antony's side.
Yes. And he
Wow.
apparently he followed the teachings of Epicurus.
All
Even though
right. So he liked nice
Epicurus had
food.
advocated a withdrawal from politics, at Rome his philosophy was made to accommodate the careers of many prominent men in public life, among them Caesar's father-in-law, Calpurnius Piso Caesarinus.
Say
So
that three times fast.
Season, I can't do it.
Ah, so you see, so Brutus did die at the Battle of Philippi, obviously.
Here's something else interesting. In
I,
Dante's
although now I question that.
Inferno, Cassius is one of three people deemed sinful enough to be chewed in one of the three mouths of Satan in the very center of hell for all eternity as a punishment for killing Julius Caesar. The other two are Brutus and Judas Iscariot.
Well, I mean, listen, this is what I'm saying. For all of Brutus's integrity and all of his altruism, he's a fucking murderer. And worse than a murderer, in a way, he's a parasite, because he was, in fact, to all intents and purposes, as close to Julius Caesar as a son.
Isn't that so crazy though? Because this says that he did want to kill Antony at the same time of Caesar. So that's true, but Brutus dissuaded him. And then he ends up fighting with Mark Antony.
Well, that makes me want to go back and read my Roman history again. I will say, where I read a lot of this stuff when I was a kid, because I fell in love with I, Claudius when it was first on public television. And I went and I read all, not only the Robert Graves books, but I went and read Suetonius and Tacitus and all of those Roman motherfuckers. And it's amazing. By the way, for anyone listening, I highly recommend reading those Roman sources, because you would not fucking believe the shit that's in those books.
I'm sh fucking sure.
It is beyond, like, what according to those Roman historians, the stuff that you see in movies and TV is nothing.
Wow.
Mean, it's like reading the most lurid scandal sheet you can possibly. Suetonius, in particular, who is considered to be less historically accurate, say, than Tacitus, who was writing at the time of Tiberius. But all those treason trials and all of that shit that went on, and all of the crazy, crazy debauchery, it's all there.
Well, I mean, people think that the movie Caligula is like over the top, but it's really accurate.
I wouldn't know. I've never seen it.
Get the fuck out. You've never seen
I've
Caligula?
never seen it. No, never seen it.
You need to watch Caligula. Everybody
I
needs to see
guess.
it once.
Isn't Helen Mirren in that movie?
Yes. There's an amazing cast in Caligula.
Oh, yes, I know. And they were all tricked, apparently.
How so?
Because nobody, like, they hired people like John Gielgud and,
Malcolm
Peter O'Toole.
McDowell plays
Well,
Caligula.
Malcolm McDowell is Caligula, but, like, and so he knew that he was making a quasi porno film,
That's
but
true.
all those other actors, they
Right,
didn't
like
tell
Peter
them that part.
O'Toole, John
Yeah.
Gielgud. Oh my God.
All of those guys were apparently kind of tricked into appearing in that film.
It is porno. I mean, there's
Yeah.
no question about that.
But yeah, I wonder. I actually think that, even if they had done the not if the, not the right thing, but the expedient thing in killing Antony as well as Caesar, either in the play or in real life. I think that the Republic was destined to crumble. It was
Yeah.
crumbling already. And a central a monarchical figure, whether you call it a king or an emperor, was an inevitable consequence of what had happened in the century leading up to the events of Julius Caesar. And, I mean, it's very interesting to think how different things might have been if Caesar had become king or emperor and had not been assassinated. But, I mean, it is it what would probably have happened would be that Caesar would have reigned for a while, and he had already adopted Octavius.
Yep.
So Octavius, or Octavian, whatever you want to call him, would inevitably have become emperor as well. And Augustus, as he obviously was later known, proved to be like an incredibly competent guy,
Yep.
and laid the foundations for the. Now, he was competent except in his choice of an heir, because Tiberius was a lunatic.
Fuckwad.
And then Caligula was even worse. But and then there was unrest under Claudius and Nero as well. But if you go further into history a little bit and you get to the Flavian emperors, for a couple hundred years, things are pretty chill in Rome.
Yeah. Here's something interesting I just found. It says about Brutus, actually. Contrary to the principles he espoused as a Stoic, which I knew he was, Brutus was personally arrogant and he was grasping and cruel in his dealings with those he considered his inferiors, including provincials and the kings of client states. Wow.
Oh, well, fuck him then.
Yeah.
You know what I highly have you ever watched the series Rome, the HBO series?
No.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Highly recommend to anyone listening as well. It's just 2 seasons. It's really, it's very well done. What they do basically is it's like they basically tell you the story of the Julius Caesar story going through Antony and Cleopatra and all of that.
Yeah.
So all of those people are like all those Brutus and Cassius and Caesar and Cicero and all, and Cleopatra, they're all there. But it basically it's from the point of view of these two Roman soldiers
Oh.
who just happen to be like they just happen to be in the most interesting places. And it's about what happens to them in their personal lives, and we see the historical events kind of through their eyes as well. It's really terrific.
Well, I'm going to get on that. I'll watch Rome and you watch a Caligula.
All right, well, we have our homework assignments.
We have our homework assignments. Yeah. Listen, listeners, if you have anything to say about any of this, please send us an email at thebardcastyoudick@gmail.com. We want to
And
hear.
don't forget to visit our website at www.thebodcastyoudick.com, where if you like to support the podcast, you could become a subscriber. And
A
that
patron.
way,
Yeah.
a patron and a subscriber, or one or the other, whatever suits you, and then you'll get the swag.
That's right. Swag. We love swag. And don't forget, we are a federal
I think we
501c3, so anything you donate is 100% tax deductible.
For today, I'm going to say that our subscribers will receive Swaggus Maximus.
Swaggus Maximus. You know what? I think that's going to be the official name of our Swaggus Maximus for from
Yes,
now on.
exactly. I agree.
And remember,
It's
it's
Shakespeare,
Shakespeare,
you
you
dick.
dick. We're so fucking nuts.
The preceding podcast was a production of Country Matters Incorporated. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.